Andrew's going to tell us about a fantastic film called The Witch.
So I do have to ask, because I do want to kind of like talk from a spoiler or non-spoiler point of view. Has anybody not seen this film and really wants to see it? Who has seen this film?
We may really want to see it.
Oh, okay. Well, so fair enough. I'll go with a non-spoilery discussion of it. I've talked about this film. I've actually shown this film in public venues and talked about it and done Q&As about it. So I feel like I don't have any notes, but I feel like I can talk about it sort of extemporaneously now. I've seen this movie 4 times, and this was my number one movie of 2016. At least, obviously, number one American film. There's so much going on, I don't even know if I can talk for about five. I could talk for this movie about an hour. I'm not even sure I can fit in 5 minutes, but... I do want to talk about like where it fits into the larger. One of the reasons this movie is formally, like in terms of cinematography, performances, design, score, sound design, this movie is almost flawless. Like it's an impeccably made film. But there are lots of impeccably made films, and the reason this film resonates is partly its context. This movie is arriving at a very specific moment in American horror cinema, and I'm a big horror fan. I'd like to talk about horror film from an artistic perspective. I know that's a lot of people don't often talk about it from that perspective. But this movie's sort of arriving at a particular moment in American cinema. If you don't know, the film is sort of a completely straight-faced colonial story about a Puritan family living on their own and a witch in the woods who's doing nasty deeds. And that's pretty much it. That's the movie. It's a gross oversimplification of what's actually shown on screen, but that's it. But this film arrives, and it's a completely straight-faced film. There's no laugh lines in this movie. It's very deeply embedded. Part of what makes it so great is it's so authentic. Everything, costumes and props and the house in the film, were built by hand for the film, using only tools and materials that would have been available to colonial Puritans. And it lends, you know, that kind of... Some filmmakers do that kind of obsession, James Cameron with Titanic, and it doesn't really pay huge dividends. This is one of those movies where the authenticity really comes out. You feel very transported, and part of it is also the performances. The characters are speaking in these very strange cadences. The movie feels very unfamiliar to your ears for the first 10 minutes because the characters are speaking in this 17th century argot, and their tones and their cadences and their accents don't make any sense to your modern ears, and it takes a while to settle into the mood of the film. But that's what makes it essential. This is a movie that takes the idea of a witch in the woods and takes it absolutely seriously and presents it in a frightening way that the characters in the film would find frightening, not why we as a modern audience might or might not find the idea of a witch frightening, but it tries to convey why the idea of an evil woman in the wood who's made a pact with the Prince of Darkness for her magical powers could be so terrifying to you. And it arrives in a moment when American horror cinema has kind of reached its peak of knowing ironic meta horror. It kind of started way back in the mid-90s with movies like New Nightmare and the Scream films. Mm-hmm. And then it has sort of been going up ever since then. And I'd say it roughly peaked in 2011 or 12. With Cabin in the Woods, which is also a phenomenal film, but it's sort of the end point of how possibly ironic and meta a horror film could conceivably get. And it feels like this is the cycle crashing back down on itself. Part of what director Robert Eggers is doing with this movie is starting over from scratch and saying, let's go back to one of the most basic primal American myths, one of the most basic primal American folkloric ideas, an evil woman in the woods cooking up bad stuff, and let's take it completely seriously. So that's what I love about it, like, on the first order. There's so much else going on. Again, I could talk about an hour about it. But I think one of the reasons, if you haven't seen it yet, one of the reasons I want to recommend it is this is a very powerful film about American society and specifically. Again, I'm sort of loath to read, as we were talking about with Zootopia, I'm sort of loath to read direct one-to-one allegories and metaphors onto films. But there is a lot of post-9/11 war and terror America in this film. It's undeniable. But part of the reason for that is not because Eggers is trying to make an overtly metaphorical film. He's showing the embryonic seeds of what Americans are afraid of, are the kind of anxieties that plague us, the kind of things that terrify us in the night, and just presenting them as they are. And if they seem familiar, if the movie seems like, ooh, this is a 9/11 metaphor, it's only because it's evoking some of the same terrors and fears and American anxieties that the War on Terror era has evoked. And I guess that's about all. I don't want to go, again, I could talk for a while, but there's a lot of us. There's a lot of 9/11 in this film. There's a lot of exploration of the presentation of Puritan culture is amazingly accurate, not only in terms of the clothing and so forth, but in the way that the there's only one male character, one adult male character in the film, the father of this family, and the way he's presented and his relationship to the women in the movie and his particular fears and anxieties. You can see him, even though he's speaking horrible 17th century dialogue and you can barely understand what he's saying sometimes, you can see on his face and see in his performance the exact anxieties he's feeling, and they're perfectly accurate for what the time is, but they're also perfectly resonant with today. You can understand them. So again, it's about a witch in the woods, but the one thing I want to say, if you haven't seen it yet, is that it's not really about the witch. The witch actually is on screen hardly at all. She's maybe on the screen for all of 2 minutes total, and she's in the darkness, and you can't even really see what she's doing most of the time. The movie is about what happens to the family afterward. After there's a horrible tragedy that befalls the animal, the family, let's just say that, and the bulk of the movie is how they respond to that tragedy. And again, there's some 9/11 allegories in there, but if the witch is 9/11, then the family is everything that followed from it. It's war on terror, it's Afghanistan, it's Iraq, it's security theater and everything that came after. And so when you're watching the movie, there's a lot of Shining in this film. When you're watching the film, you're not really focused on the witch, you're focused on the characters, the mother, father, older teen daughter, preteen boy, and then two little twins. Watching that family completely come apart at the seams, not because of what the witch has done, but because of the fissures that are already there. And again, there's a lot of the Shining in it. The fissures that are already there are pulling that family completely apart, and they start physically attacking each other and psychologically attacking each other.
There's something very specific I like at the end of this movie. And I'm not going to say what character, what the situation, or anything like that, but the last shot is one of my favorite things that a lot of horror movies, or some horror movies do, is a character smiles. And I really love that, because I love, and the most famous horror film to do that, obviously, is the last shot of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where...
Or Psycho.
Psycho, too. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I think the last 5 minutes is just perfect cinema. And when she smiles at the end, I love that. It's just like this release of like anxiety of what you've been through, and this is acknowledgement, I think, from the filmmakers of what we've all just been through. And it happens in this, too. And I'm not going to say who it is, but when it happens, I just loved it because I recognized it as that kind of historical.
And that, I should say that exact scene, at the very last shots of the movie, are a specific visual reference to a famous painting. And there's a lot of that in this film. There's a lot of scenes that are, if you freeze frame them and you looked at them carefully, you go, this seems familiar some. Mm-hmm. Wow. There's a lot of the Dutch Northern Renaissance painters in this, a lot of Spanish painters. But I'm glad you brought up Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because I would say, again, I freaking love this movie, and I would put it, there are three movies that I consider the essential American horror films before this film, and they're all movies that are not just great horror films, which they are, but they're great American horror films specifically, because they deal with something specific about America, sometimes at the time they were made, but also universal. And that was Night of the Living Dead, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and The Shining, even though The Shining is made by a British filmmaker. And I think this movie is powerful enough that I...
From New York, right?
Stanley Kubrick, yeah.
He lived in Britain, but he's American.
Yeah. Well, the witch is the movie that, like, when I saw it, I instantly knew, oh, we have a fourth film in the canon.
Yeah.
That's how powerful it is.
There you go.
So, I've heard, like, some complaints from a couple of friends of mine. They say it's kind of a slow, boring movie.
It is a very slow movie. I will concede that, which is one of the things I love about it. I love slow films.
But some people had, like, some of my friends had expectations walking in, like, just a generic horror movie, and I think they were just shocked.
And that was the response of a lot of people. I read another film critic who said that people, the advertising was maybe perhaps a little faulty, at least the television advertising. It tricked people into thinking that this was a movie that it happens to be in Puritan New England, but it's following typical horror film rhythms. The way I describe it is people walked into this thinking they were going to see, like, Insidious or something in colonial Williamsburg drag. It just happened. Same movie you've seen 100 times, just in a different, like, setting. It's not that at all. Nothing really leaps to mind in terms of another horror film to compare it to. It's so very different than anything else.
The thing that surprised me about this movie is I had heard some things in advance, and so I figured the parents were religious zealots, and I guess I was prepared for them to be like, you know, Carrie's mom or something. but they're not. I mean, it's a very recognizable kind of, especially if you grew up in a Christian family.
The religiosity of the movie is absolutely essential to it, but it's not a typical Stephen King scenario where there's a horrible fundamentalist character who's sort of the demon of the movie.
No, the
whole family is highly
sympathetic.
The whole family is very religious, and their religiosity is very important to how they interpret the events around them. There's a great throwaway line, that to me, I grew up Southern Baptist, and there's a great throwaway line in the film where the father is taking the preteen son out in the woods to check traps for food because they're running low on food. And there's a whole drama of why he has the traps and what he had to do to get the traps and so forth. But they're talking about a character who's died, and the character who's died is very young, pre-baptized character. And the boy has this horrible anxiety. You can see it on his face, and he's having trouble articulating it. The idea that what his church has taught him, which is that little baby is roasting in hell because he wasn't baptized. And it's a great scene because you could watch the little boy's face and the questions he asks almost tentatively of his dad. It's like, so that means that baby is in hell burning, right? And his dad's like, yep. And you can see the existential horror of it on this actor's face. And it's so subtly, it's not presented emphatically in any way. It's presented as a conversation that they're having while they're walking from point A to point B to do something else. And it's very specific. Like I said, religiosity is there, but it's not necessarily the demon of the movie. Fear is definitely the demon in this movie.